Let us consider now a portion from God's Word that we read together in the book of Acts, chapter 12, and we will read again at verse 11. Acts 12, verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Last time we looked at the need and the duty and the earnestness of prayer. Now, there was clearly a need for prayer by the church, who was in great straits. You see, the leaders of the church were being persecuted. One was dead, and the other was about to be put to death. And so the church found themselves in great need to be praying because they were in need. They were greatly tried. And while Peter was being kept in prison, prayer was being made for Peter. They prayed continually, we noticed. It seems that they were praying all night for Peter. Just as Peter was woken up by the angel in the middle of the night, at that very time they were praying for him. They were praying continually, and they were praying earnestly. The word translated without ceasing in verse 5 means stretched out, literally stretched out, which means they were earnest and they were fervent. They were zealous. They desired earnestly their need to be met. They needed God to deliver them, to deliver Peter. And they were looking to God. They were not petitioning the king. They were making their request to the King of Kings, because he alone could help them. Well, let's ask ourselves once again, are we earnest in prayer too? Do we have desires to God for his mercies, his blessings, that we feel our need of? Is there a desire out of a sense of need? And so earnest prayers with true desire, prayers that are made by those who fear God, who hear his word, those who seek to keep a good conscience, well, these are the prayers and these are the persons whose prayers are heard. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yes, and we noticed very briefly last time how much was availed by fervent prayer. When an angel was fetched from heaven and came and woke up Peter, and his chains fell off him, and he was set free, and he came to the house of Mary where they were praying, to the great astonishment of these praying people. Well, last time we considered the need and duty and earnestness of prayer. This evening, with the Lord's help, let us consider the answer to prayer. Peter was set free from prison, and he went to the house where they were praying. It was an answer to their prayer. And we notice then, first of all, Peter's release and how the Lord answered the church's prayer in Peter being set free. And secondly, let us consider the church's response. And in all of this, let us see how the Lord answers prayer and how we know that our prayers are answered. As we sang in Psalm 65, O thou that hearer art of prayer, all flesh shall come to thee, and may we this evening be coming to the Lord, praying from the heart to him, and in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. First, Peter's release and how the Lord answered the church's prayer in him being set free. The church was praying for Peter in the house of Mary. Perhaps this was one of the usual places of worship, or they met there because it was not safe at this time for the church to gather in a more public place. So they gather at the house of Mary, the mother of John. They did what they could because the Lord calls us to pray. And they prayed because, as we said already, they felt their need. They needed God's mercy and help and deliverance. And they prayed specifically. They were praying for a particular person. They were praying for Peter. And no doubt they were praying that if it was the Lord's will, Peter would be released. He would be set free from prison. And they No doubt considered rightly that there was much work to be done in the church by Peter, and so they were very specific in their requests. And perhaps they were praying that Peter would be upheld spiritually, because as we mentioned last time, Peter was a man subject to like passions with ourselves, and they would be praying that God would uphold him and deliver him from depression in his isolation. And so the Lord answered their prayers. We see Peter in verse 6 that he is sleeping. The same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. This was the night just before he was to be executed. And so, friends, we see that even though he is, as it were, on death row, he is at rest. And so the Lord can give us peace and rest, even in the most trying circumstances. As we sang in Psalm 3 in verse 5, in the prose version here, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And God was sustaining Peter the whole time. See how he's not disturbed, he's not frightened, and he's not staying awake out of fear for his life. No, he's calm, he's not panicking, he has a good conscience. He has been washed in the blood of Christ. He has endeavored to keep God's commandments. And again, we stress that if we desire God to hear our prayers, we need to be hearing his word. And we need to seek grace to do his will and to be sincere and upright before him. These are the persons whose prayers are heard. So we need to pray for upholding grace too. And God will hear those prayers. Pray that God would support us with the comforts of his word. Pray for peace, that we would not be anxious. Pray that the Lord would keep us from being agitated, that we would have composure even in all the trying circumstances that we go through. And the second answer to prayer was Peter's actual release. He was set free. Of course, he wasn't released by Herod, but he was set free by the angel of the Lord. In verse 7 we read, And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Well, the angel set free Peter, but we know that it was the Lord who sent the angel. Just as the angel Gabriel came to Daniel when Daniel was praying earnestly, it was an answer to prayer. The angel brought a word of comfort to Daniel, who was greatly beloved. So Peter was also greatly beloved, and the Lord loved his church and was hearing the prayer of his people. And a light shined from the angel, perhaps. They were called shining ones. Or simply a light shined when the angel was present. But you see, God was giving Peter light to see his way of escape. We also should pray for light. Pray the Lord to guide us and give us direction and give us wisdom. And he will guide us. He will answer these prayers. For those who follow Christ, the light of the world, they will not walk in darkness. They will not stumble when he is their light and when they are walking close to him. And see how also it was in the prison that light shined. When Peter was still there, and you may be feeling bound in prison too, if for whatever reason, perhaps in the prison of an unconverted state, and calling upon the Lord to deliver you from spiritual death, while the Lord is able to shine in your heart, even in the dark prison house of your own sinful, unconverted state, the Lord is able to turn your dark prison into a palace of light, because the Lord is the light of the Gentiles. He says, or God speaks to him in Isaiah 42 and verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. The Lord is able to give light and set you free, because he is a light to the Gentiles. And we see also in verse 7 that the angel smote Peter on the side and raised him up. Now this angel, the angel of the Lord, wasted no time. He woke up Peter with force. He smote Peter. This word is used elsewhere for a violent smiting. In fact, it's the very same word used in verse 23, where we read in regard to Herod, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, same word, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of the worms and gave up the ghost. Well, the angel smote or hit Peter to wake him up forcibly and get him ready to go. And you see how clearly the Lord was answering prayer. And friends, sometimes the Lord, as it were, hits us in providence to get our attention. And it may be then, even then, that he is answering the prayers of his people by things that are sometimes even frightening, by terrible things in righteousness. Wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and so on. So let us not be afraid when we go through adversity and things that are tumultuous. It may be the Lord himself answering our prayers, our very prayers, in such ways that might feel as if he is smiting us. But we will soon see that the Lord is actually leading us in a way of blessing. In verse 8, the angel orders Peter to prepare himself, to put on his sandals, and to gird himself and put on his outer garment. And Peter was prompt. And he did so, we read. So he did. He did not procrastinate, but he obeyed the angel. He believed that the angel would do or would direct him to do what is best. And notice very briefly that Peter avoided two things here. He avoided doubt and he avoided fear. And that is because he was not unbelieving. He was believing, and therefore he was not giving in to doubt and fear. He did not give in to doubt by delaying. He was not saying in himself, well, is this really an angel? Is this really, is he really going to set me free? Let me just think about this first. No, he was obedient. Yes, we do read later on that he wondered whether this was true or not, but the fact of the matter is he obeyed. He was not giving in to doubts. If he had delayed, he would have been doubting, as if to say, I don't believe the Lord is setting me free. But he believed and obeyed. And on the other hand, he did not go ahead of the angel. He did not say, I don't need my sandals and my coat. I just want to get out of the prison immediately, or else the guards will wake me up and hold me back. Well, that would argue fear, unbelieving fear on Peter's part. No, he obeyed orders, and he was following the directions of the angel, and the Lord was answering his prayer, answering the prayer of the church. In verse 9, we read, he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He followed the directions, but interestingly, he did not know whether what was happening was real or whether it was a dream or a vision. And it would not be too surprising to know that Peter might think this, because he had already seen a vision of the unclean animals and the sheet lowered down from heaven. And we read of that in Acts chapter 10. Well, that was a vision. And perhaps he is thinking that the Lord is showing him another vision in order to prepare him for what was yet to come. But no, the fact of the matter is the Lord was hearing their prayers. And so we read in verse 10, when they were past the first and second ward, they were walking past the two subdivisions of the prison, and there were no doubt guards that were protecting these entrances. But then we read that they came unto the iron gate that leads to the city. And what happened then? We read, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on. You see, Peter perhaps, or rather the soldiers, the guards, might have thought that Peter was a servant, and they would let the servants go through the the first and second ward. But then when he came to the gate, well, it wasn't usual for the servants to just leave the prison just like that. Peter might have thought, what are we going to do now? How are we going to get through this? It doesn't matter when the Lord is answering prayer, because the gate, the iron gate, opened of its own accord. The word used, own accord, is one word in the original. It is automate, which is the word that we get our word automatic from. So the iron gate opened automatically. Of course, friends, we have automatic doors and gates in our day, but Peter would have seen no such thing at that time, the gate opening automatically. And it was the Lord who was working miraculously for the church in answer to their prayers. So we read that they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Peter is now in the open. What a difference. He's walking the distance of one street, and the angel disappears. And now Peter has a moment to reflect. Verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, and literally when Peter was in himself, being in himself, that is, he is now in his natural or normal state. He's no longer in a state of uncertainty. He's fully aware of what's going on. And he is saying to himself, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. God had fully delivered Peter from Herod and from what the Jews had expected would happen to Peter. They thought that Peter was going to be judged publicly and then put to death. But no, their expectation was disappointed. God was not going to let their desires be gratified. Peter was set free. Now, why was it that James the apostle was put to death with the sword, but Peter escaped? The only answer to be given is the sovereignty of God. Both were good men, both were born again, both were apostles, both were praying, and no doubt the church was praying for both of them. But the Lord had his own way of dealing with his dear people. And so, friends, in all our prayers, we must acknowledge that God is sovereign. And when it comes to temporal things, like health and physical life itself, we must always pray, Thy will be done. We may be praying for a child, spare my child this illness, or pray for our own physical health and life. Always pray, if it be Thy will. And if the Lord does not give us the answer in the particular way we are praying, well then, he will give us something better. But you see, the Lord always answers. And he answers us exactly according to our need and what is truly good for us. Now Peter's release from prison, or I should rather say his being set free and perhaps even his miraculous escape, illustrates wonderfully that God hears and answers prayer. The church was praying for Peter, and the Lord himself released his servant Peter. So, how can we be assured that God hears prayer? Well, he is called the hearer of prayer. O thou that hearest prayer, Psalm 65. This is his name or title, and this assures us that God answers prayer. Secondly, God promises us, if we seek him, we will find him. He tells us that he even answers prayer before we begin to pray, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the Savior himself promises us, ask, and it shall be given. And also, thirdly, God gives numerous encouragements to us to pray to him and bring all our concerns to him and make all our requests known to him. And fourthly, the attributes of God assures us that he hears prayer. He has the power to fulfill his promises. He is infinite in goodness and willingness to hear our prayers. He is full of compassion and tenderness. His truthfulness, his righteousness assures us that he will hear and answer our prayers. And fifthly, the experiences of God's people in the Bible and in history assures us that he is the hearer of prayer. Jonathan Edwards has a whole sermon on God hearing prayer. And so, friends, just as the church here, praying for Peter, was praying earnestly, and the Lord answered their prayer, he is showing us from his word that he is the hearer of prayer. He answers prayer according to our need, and the cry of the destitute he surely will regard. And yet we see how surprised, even though they were praying earnestly and they know that God hears prayer, see how surprised they were when they saw that their prayer was heard. So in the second place, the church's response to answered prayer. In verse 12 we read, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." So this Mary, there were many Marys. It was a common name in those days. But she is distinguished by being the mother of John. But also John is a common name in those days. So he is distinguished by the Latin surname Mark. And this Mark was probably the one who wrote the gospel according to Mark, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they considered it a privilege to pray. And now they will witness their prayer being answered. But something interesting was going to happen first. When Peter came to this house where they were praying, he knocks on the door, and a damsel or a girl named Rhoda comes to listen, to see who was there, and she knew that it was Peter's voice. But what happens? She doesn't open the door. She leaves Peter there outside and comes in so excited she did not open the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She knew Peter's voice. She had either heard Peter preach frequently, or she often welcomed him into the house. But she was so excited that Peter was actually there, she didn't even open the door. She ran in to tell the others, who said, "Thou art mad. You have lost your mind. What has happened to you? We all know Peter is still in prison. He's about to be executed." That's what they thought. But no, Rhoda knew she was not insane. She heard Peter's voice with her own ears, and she kept affirming that it was true. Well, then they concluded it must be his angel. They're still so unready to believe that the Lord had actually heard their prayer. They say, well, it can't be Peter, or if it is, it must be his angel. And perhaps it was an angel that was going to announce to them that Peter was either about to be executed or that he was being set free. But what decided the point or the question was this, that Peter kept knocking, and they open the door and they discover it is Peter himself. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now, they must have all been overjoyed, and they must have all been talking all at once. And Peter found it necessary to gesture to them to all quiet down so he could speak. Verse 17, "He, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison." The Lord had brought him out of the prison. Yes, an angel set him free, but it was the Lord who sent the angel. It was God answering the church's prayers. The Lord answered their prayer. And then he tells them, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. James is probably the apostle James, who had a distinguished position in the church at Jerusalem. And Peter probably left Jerusalem for another city, and we find him in Antioch at some point. Well, the next thing we see is that the great enemy of the church died. When the people called him a god, he did not tell them to cease doing so. He did not restrain them. He did not give God the glory. So an angel smote him, same word as when the angel smote Peter, but this is a smiting which resulted in death. The enemy died, but the word of God multiplied. And we see again how the Lord helps the church and how the Lord answers prayer. Well, how do we know that the blessing that we have received is an answer to our prayers? We're always unworthy of the mercies that we receive, and God always gives according to his sovereign good pleasure. But we might ask, how do we know that it's an answer to our prayer and not just in the ordinary course of providence? Well, Fisher's Catechism helps us here. We may know that the blessings we receive are an answer to our prayer in these ways, and there's three or four ways. Well, when the answer comes speedily and unexpectedly, as we hinted at earlier, when the Lord says to us in Isaiah 65, verse 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." So the church, while they were praying for Peter, it was then that the Lord answered them and sent Peter to them. Also, another way is when other mercies are given to us together with and over and above that which we desired. The Lord was answering Solomon's prayer when God gave to Solomon more than the wisdom that he asked for, but he also gave him the riches and honor that he did not pray for. So the church saw Peter not only released, but the Lord sent Peter straight to them while they were gathered. And also the time. We may know that the Lord is answering our prayer by the timing. The time at which we receive the mercies prayed for indicates that they are an answer to our prayer. For example, when we need the mercies most, when we're most in need. And so it was when Peter was released. It was just the night before Herod was about to execute him. He was released in the nick of time, so to speak. And that's an indication that the Lord is answering prayer, the timing of it, when we need it most. And it is also, the Lord answers prayer during a time when the church is most earnest in prayer. Such was the church in the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. They kept on praying. They were praying without ceasing. They were praying earnestly. And when they were in great need, that is when their prayer was answered. And so if we are praying earnestly and the Lord answers our prayer, then we know, and the Lord gives us that mercy, we may know that it is an answer to our prayers. So let us not give up praying. And if we see there's a delay, let us realize that the Lord is trying us. Delays are not denials. The Lord is preparing us to receive the blessing. We should ask, do we really feel our need? Do we really desire the blessing? Are we trusting in God and not in man? Do we desire to glorify God when we receive the blessing that we pray for? And let us, to encourage us, let us consider a profitable exercise in regard to this matter, to think about all the stories, all the accounts in the Bible of God answering the prayers of his people. Think about God answering prayer in church history. And surely it is a good thing for God's people to take time to reflect upon all the occasions of the Lord giving mercy and blessing to them in particular in answer to their prayers. And finally, let us not again neglect to pray for the greatest of all blessings, even the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus promises us that God gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And Jesus himself assures us, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And why is that? Because the Lord is the hearer of prayer. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jews." May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, teach us to pray and enable us to desire those things that are needful and agreeable to thy will. O that we would pray believingly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might be accepted in him, and therefore our persons being accepted, our petitions will be heard. O Lord, we pray to give us the answer to our prayers, prayers for grace, upholding strength in our time of weakness and difficulty, and for thy presence, O Lord, in our time of loneliness, and whatever our condition is, we know that thou art in Christ a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So uphold us with thy love and care, strengthening us in the path of duty, waiting upon thee with expectation. As the psalmist said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him, and thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hear us then, pardon our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 102, the first version of the psalm. Psalm 102, and a reading from verse 15. So shall the heathen people fear the Lord's most holy name, and all the kings on earth shall dread the glory, thy glory and thy fame. When Zion by the mighty Lord built up again shall be, in glory then and majesty to men appear shall he. The prayer of the destitute he surely will regard, their prayer will he not despise, by him it shall be heard. For generations yet to come this shall be on record, so shall the people that shall be created praise the Lord. And so on. Psalm 102, the first version of the psalm from verse 15. So shall the heathen people fear the Lord's most holy name.